Welcome to the spirit world, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the spirit world. I am Debbie Giorgiani with co-host, religious demonologist, Adam Bly, and you today. We're opening up the phone lines, talking all about servant leadership on this beautiful Memorial Day weekend. So we ask for all of you to get your questions ready and start calling in, because Carol and Lori are at the phones already, and Tim is at the controls, our wonderful producer. But Adam, we always begin with the St. Michael prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. So yes, the phone the lines are open, and the phone number is ready to go for you. You should have it memorized by now, guys. 877-757-9424. We're talking all about servant leadership this weekend. It's very appropriate for Memorial Day. So we want to have a short teaching on what is servant leadership, where can we find it in Scripture, and then we're going to turn our attention to you, our wonderful spirit world listeners who have questions all about ministry, and how do we really serve, and how do we really build up the kingdom, and how do we really conduct ourselves in this world without getting really drawn into what the world is telling us. It's very important we talk about this, folks. Servant leadership is the topic, and we do want to hear from you at 877-757-9424. And Adam, I know you're ready to define what servant leadership is and where we can find it and how we can really start practicing it today.
So, Deb, this one is actually really interesting, because you would think it's just kind of a simple idea, but it actually leads to it leads back to the garden in Genesis, like so many things do. It leads back to you can be like God, that lie in the garden that led to the fall. Mm-hmm. You'll see what I mean by that. Now, we're going to launch into this, and I want to mention it now and at the end of the show. Hopefully, I'll remember at that moment, and we have the time. Please pray for the dead. This is Memorial Day weekend, where we honor those that have died in military service in the United States. And part of honoring them is to please pray for them, for those that are still in purgatory. It's a great way to participate in Memorial Day in a spiritual sense. Okay, servant leadership. Well, what does that mean? In general, it means serving the needs and well-being of the led first, not putting the leader first, right? So if you're leading, it's not about me, it's about those I'm leading. It emphasizes empowering the people that you're leading, collaborating with them, encouraging the development of those that you're leading so that they become more competent and stronger and confident. Servant leaders demonstrate humility, as opposed to I'm great and you're not, that's why I'm leading you. There's humility there. And we're going to get to why that's so important. And servant leaders try to help their people reach their full potential, those that they're leading, right? So it's not just about do this task and that's my goal. It's about do this task well and grow in your ability to do this and many other things so that you become happy and confident over time. So that's in general what servant leadership kind of means. Mm-hmm. Now there's at least three scriptures that we can look at. We're going to look at three today. One, we're going to look at Matthew 20, 25 to 28. This is where Jesus is basically defining what does power look like in his church, right?
Right. How is the church organized? This one is really good. Everybody needs to pay attention to this. Go ahead, Adam.
Okay, so here we'll read. But Jesus summoned them and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot packed in there.
there's a lot. Yeah. But we're going to walk through these, and then if we have time, we can reflect a little bit more. Now let's look at John 13, 1-5. Here we are at the Last Supper, right? It's the eve before the Passion starting. And Jesus is preparing to have this final meal and to institute the Mass. But he does something really interesting. Here we read, "Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist." So here we see such a clear kind of picture, you know, of the visible and the invisible. He was fully aware that he is God, that he's come from God, he's returning to God. Yet he's taking the role of a servant with them. Now, John, a little bit later in John 13, 12-15, Jesus basically explains to them why he's done this. There we read, "So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, 'Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do.'" Now, Deb, as you know, we see Jesus demonstrating this idea many times beyond this. He was healing the sick, who were the marginalized in society. Mm-hmm. Often they were marginalized. They were disabled, the people that couldn't walk or hear or see. And oftentimes the sick were rejected. They were off to the side in society. Mm-hmm. And this is who Jesus goes to and heals. He also comforts the poor, who basically were usually the marginalized and the less socially powerful. He preaches the good news of God's love and salvation to all, but particularly, as he describes it, to the spiritually sick, mm-hmm. that a physician comes for the sick. Okay. So he's talking about serving us and that we should serve one another. But then he takes it a little bit deeper in Luke 14, 12-14, and it becomes even clearer. There we read, "Then he said to the host who had invited him, 'When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the cripple, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.'" Okay, so how does this all connect back to Genesis? Especially within the church, when we maybe are asked to or given a role of being a leader in some way in the church, mm-hmm. what's the mm-hmm. temptation? In our hearts, it's, I'm special. I'm
title.
Holy.
Title.
I'm power. Holier than these people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know how things need to be done. I can tell you how to think and behave mm-hmm. because I'm great. That's kind of the temptation at the heart of it, right?
Right. And wanting honor and praise, recognition, all the things that come with that position.
Yeah. And then if you do get the honor and praise, that going to your head and you thinking that you're genuinely special or better than other people. this is that temptation. And so, you know, to go back to you can be like God. You're so holy and special. You have the spiritual authority to tell other people how to deal with their problems and how to behave and how to think about these things. So what's my point? All of this that Jesus is doing and telling us in the scriptures, mm-hmm. it helps us to remember, and here it is, Deb, we are the spiritually poor, the spiritually crippled, and the spiritually blind. All of us, mm-hmm. all of us humans. We are the ones Jesus encounters today through his living word and his church.
Right.
This helps us to remain humble before God, remembering that we were and still are in need of help. It helps us to be patient and kind and encouraging to those we encounter who might be selfish. They might be mean to us. They might be careless. They might be cruel. Because we truly were those ways, and sometimes we still are, and not buy into the lie of the devil that we are holy and perfect and we are like God. Mm-hmm. Jesus is calling us to a humility with each other, and even when we're in roles of leadership within the church, within the world, to remember we're not special and we're not holy outside of what Jesus does in our lives through grace. And any credit for anything good needs to be given to God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, needs to be given to God, because mm-hmm. it's not about like, I need to put on an air of humility and like, oh, aren't I so pious and humble and look at me, which is a twisted way of doing the same problem, right? Mm-hmm. If we truly give the credit to God, which is the truth, we are fighting the temptation of Genesis.
Right.
And we are striving for actual holiness, which is humility is a foundation of actual holiness.
Right.
But ironically, you never feel holy. You never attain it. But that, in fact, is in your mind,
mm-hmm.
and in truth, really, until we get to the beatific vision, nobody's holy. But it's this wonderful thing. Like, there's so much wisdom in Scripture and in what Jesus did that, yeah. So I don't know. What are your thoughts
on
this?
Well, I do have some comments on this, but I'm going to wait till after the break because we want to have some more of our Spirit World listeners and followers join Timoteo, because Timoteo is going to be first to lead the discussion. He's waiting patiently, and he called this number, 877-757-9424, talking all about servant leadership today on the Spirit World. I do have just a couple comments about what Adam shared, and it's very powerful, because I've been in ministry since 1989, and so I've seen a lot, I've learned a lot, and it's really important that we get it right when we are really serving others. So when we come back, more on servant leadership and your calls at 877-757-9424. This is your show, heard on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, so please join us.
This program is sponsored in part by Saint Candles. Founded by a music executive to comfort a friend diagnosed with a life-threatening illness, the Saint Candle Collection has grown to more than 25 candles. Each modern candle is handmade with a prayer coin inside and dedicated to a patron saint. Saint Raphael for healing, Saint Philomena for children, Saint Anthony of Padua, and many more as well. To see which Saint Candles are available, visit saintcandles.com.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 24th. Today we celebrate Saint Mary Magdalene de Pazzi. During her 41 years, Mary Magdalene de Pazzi was in such close union with God that she is called the ecstatic saint, but she also knew times of spiritual dryness. Born in Florence in 1566, Catherine de Pazzi entered the local Carmelite convent at 16, taking the name Sister Mary Magdalene. After only 1 year, she became critically ill. Death seemed near, so her superiors let her make her profession of vows from a cot in the chapel. Immediately after, she fell into an ecstasy that lasted some hours. The ecstasies, repeated after she received communion on the following 40 mornings, were rich experiences of union with God. To preserve the revelations, Mary Magdalene dictated her prayer experiences over the next 6 years to her sister secretaries. Her words filled 5 large volumes of books that recorded ecstasies as well as long periods of trial. Mary Magdalene endured violent temptations and great physical suffering. She died in 1607 and was canonized in 1669. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
And Adam and I are waving to all the YouTube and Facebook groups. Thanks, you guys. We see you, and you're sending in beautiful comments, and we say hello back to you during this Memorial Day weekend. But we're sensing that a lot of you are getting going with your plans for Memorial Day, because typically we have full phone lines plus. So we're going to ask you if you're driving or you're gathering with friends, maybe stop what you're doing and make your phone call, because these programs go worldwide, and it's very important that we help others learn about servant leadership. So the number to dial to join Timoteo and the others that are calling right now, there you go. That's the way to do it. Keeping Carol and Lori busy on the phones, 877-757-9424. And then real quickly, Adam, I just wanted to comment, but just continue with your teaching on servant leadership and referencing what it is and where we can find it in Scripture before we get to Timoteo. Again, I've been in ministry since 1989. I had some of the best mentors and pastors to guide me in how to really properly serve. And I am so grateful to them. So many of these wonderful priests went on to meet the Lord, their home in heaven, and hopefully, and they were wonderful holy priests. And they used to always say that you have to really remember that why you are doing what you're doing, volunteering or being a catechist or serving. You have to remember why you're doing it and who you're doing it for. And you have to keep that perspective. You know, you have to be thinking, I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this for God's people. I'm not doing it for Debbie Giorgiani. I'm not doing it for the accolades or the honor and praise and recognition. I'm going against the world, because the world, Adam, recognizes success, recognizes titles, recognizes power. You know, you just look at any time you go to an event, Adam, what's the first thing that you see on the event calendar? The VIP section, you know, or VIP table, you know, the most powerful people are going to be there, and everybody rushes to that most popular table of the influencers, right? And in so many of the wonderful priests that taught me how to really minister well, they would say all the time, you have to be in a deep prayer state before, during, and after you minister to God's people. So our pastor would require us to pay a visit to the Adoration Chapel every time we stepped on campus.
Wow.
Yeah. We were not allowed to punch in. We were not allowed to go to our office and put our stuff down. We were to go to Jesus. And I get chills when I think about this, because I remember it so vividly. And yeah. And there were times that I was racing to get to work, and I needed to get into the office. And I would go to the Adoration Chapel, because, you know, God forbid Father should see me on campus, you know, not going to the chapel. But they were spot on. to draw your strength from God, to remember why you are doing this, then to minister effectively with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then to go back to God afterwards and thank Him for mm-hmm. allowing you to do this work and working through you. And the beauty of that, Adam, is when you do this three-point method of tapping God while you're ministering, it removes self and it places God in the center. Mm. And I absolutely, I have to tell you, I have tried my hardest. I've failed many times, but I've tried my hardest to do that since 1989, because I loved these priests so very much, and they were so holy. And they would say to me, Debbie, that's the way to effectively minister. That is true servant leadership. Those that are going for some kind of recognition, they've gotten it already. And guess what? Unfortunately, they probably aren't going to get that same type of praise in the afterlife, because they got it already.
Here. Yes, and Scripture talks about that. Like, don't you know, have your charitable acts on display and you know, look for everybody to pat you on the back, because you've already gotten your reward. Yeah, better to do it in secret.
Exactly.
Because the Father knows.
Yeah. Yeah. But I can tell you this, true ministry work is very humbling. Very humbling. There's not a lot of thank yous. There's not a lot of appreciation. There's not a lot of understanding of what you have to go through to do ministry work. True ministry work is really hard. But it's spiritually rewarding. So I guess mm-hmm. the point is, what is a person going to, when they sign up to be a catechist or a lector or something at the church, a greeter or something of that nature, or an altar server, what are you doing it for? And why are you doing it? And who are you doing it for? You know, you've really got to ask these serious ministry questions, you know, and that's why I love ministry, but I absolutely respect and love ministry minded people. Mm. That's golden. Okay, Adam, so any quick comments? Because as you can see, we have almost full phone lines, because the Spirit World listeners are going strong. Any final quick comments?
Just super, super quick. You know, every Friday, what you're describing is something that I get to experience. It's not through any merit of my own, but you know, it takes me about 10 or 15 minutes to get in the right kind of place mentally, spiritually, as we're starting the exorcisms for the day. And so I pray usually the rosary, and I walk and pray the rosary before we start, to kind of get into that space. And mm-hmm. during it, of course, you're praying intently, and you're very aware of the presence of Jesus and Him limiting these creatures and Him helping these people. And at the end of the day, after everybody's gone and I get to be the porter and lock up and, you know, turn all the lights off, and I'm there alone in the chapel for, as long as I want, I will usually just have a little talk with Jesus and thank Him and talk about a few things. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I mean, for exorcism, it's super clear that it's critical that you be in a good spiritual place, because the situation will give you feedback if you're not.
Right.
But for me, it's taught me that lesson. What you're mm-hmm. describing, it's taught mm-hmm. me that lesson very seriously. And it's been a gift.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes ministry enjoyable. You can, you actually enter into it, and you're not only giving and helping, but you're getting spiritually. So it's a beautiful win-win when it's done the right way with the right mindset. I totally agree with you, Adam. Okay. So guess what? Our virtual patience award is going to Tim Mateo in Findlay, Ohio, on the GRN online YouTube channel. And Tim Mateo, God bless you. You were first up, and you waited so long to be on air with us. So welcome, sir.
I'd like to thank the Academy for the virtual award.
And we absolutely give it to you, Tim Mateo. You're amazing. Thank you so much. Everybody just loves you on YouTube, and you're just so wonderful, and you're such a great supporter of Catholic Radio. So thank you. But yes, you have something very important to say today.
Yeah, I'll make it quick. You know, years ago, I recently discovered something unusual of St. Philip Neri being the patron saint of the United States Army Special Forces AKA the Green Berets. And I didn't, and it was because of three factors. And I first learned the leadership through 4-H ever since a little bit. These three factors really hit home to me. Selfless service, superb and outstanding teacher, inspirational leader. These three, I think, are very good factors about servant leadership.
Yeah, we would agree. What do you say, Adam?
Yeah, I think that's amazing. You know, these fundamental spiritual truths, this idea that there is real objective truth, which is God, you see it echoed in other systems that aren't even, you know, explicitly a religious, Catholic, Christian kind of situation. And I know other world religions have, of course, some of the truth. We understand that from the church. Of course they do. But isn't it wonderful how the fundamental spiritual tenets appear in the guidance, you know, when any human institution thinks about these things and has a few generations of experience, they gravitate towards the biblical approach. It's mm-hmm. really neat.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're talking about the Green Berets, Timoteo, and on this Memorial Day weekend, you know, it's so interesting when you look at the military structure of being selfless, right? And really working for everyone, helping everyone, sticking together, you know, to the point of even laying down your life, you know, to have others be able to live. I mean, it's really quite extraordinary. And yet, Timoteo, we live in a world that tells us to do the exact opposite, the exact opposite. And so we have to be radically different as Catholics and really, like Adam was saying, live by the word, the living word of God, and really practice it. Because if 1.4 billion Catholics would actually go to Mass and live what Christ teaches, we could transform this world. What do you say, Timoteo?
Yeah, that's true. And the reason why those three factors was I was told it was those are the epitome of the ideal special forces soldier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's this idea, and that's what they're there for, to protect,
right.
Not to be aggressive, but to protect.
To protect. Wow. Powerful stuff. Tim, you are awesome. Thank you so much for starting this discussion because you called in. We've got full phone lines plus. So thank you, Tim. You're always amazing
to
us.
Thank you, and God bless all of you. Have a safe Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you.
You too, Tim. Okay, Tim's going to free that phone line at 877-757-9424. Great call to get us started here on servant leadership. We're going to go to Lou next in Queens, New York, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Lou. Welcome back to the program.
Hi. Thank you for having me, Debbie and Adam. It's always a pleasure. I'm just going to piggyback on what Tim was saying. Having had worked in the judiciary, the servant leadership that we provided regarded the protection of the community, to use Tim's term, protection, and also to rehabilitate, to change people's minds and hearts so they don't recidivate and commit new crimes, that they lead a fruitful existence, you know, and provide for their families and work and be an example. And I would say that most people did. We only had a 15% failure rate, which is phenomenal in the federal system. And I guess basically you have to find your own personal salvation, which means make your own covenant with God and Jesus, because God made it with us, so we have to do it on an individual level.
Adam, you want to respond to Lou?
No, I worked in the state prisons here in Pennsylvania, providing therapy. Part of my job was providing therapy for people with various, you know, criminal pasts. And yeah, it's basically, I can really relate to what you're saying. And we tried very hard to be helpful and reduce recidivism, because people were going back in the community. And if they had recidivism, there'd be more victims of whatever type of crime it was. And so, you know, yeah, conveying some of these some of these ideas would play out there, certainly. And that's, you know, that's part of what therapy requires, is to be present in a real, genuine way as a fellow human being, but also to be a leader and to provide correction and explanation. So, yeah, just thank you for your work, Lou, and thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for weighing in, Lou, and a blessed Memorial Day to you and your family, okay? God bless you. Thanks, Lou. Okay, Lou's going to free that phone line at 877-757-9424 is the way to get a hold of us and to contribute to this topic of servant leadership. When we come back from this final break, that's right, it's the final break, we're going to get to Dolores next and then Rachel and Chuck. So hang on if you want to join this fine team of callers that are getting their questions ready with our call screeners, Carol and Lori, then please dial this number, 877-757-9424. Again, thank you to Guadalupe Radio Network for producing this show. Tim Mott is our senior producer, doing a fine job, and we're so grateful. Thanks, EWTN. You are awesome. We'll be right back.
This is Father Chris Alar of the Marian Fathers. Please join me at the Guadalupe Radio Network's 25th anniversary celebration in Plano, Texas on July 19th. I will be one of the speakers alongside others like Monsignor Charles Pope, Father Cedric Pizania, and my good friend Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. This historic event is free in gratitude for the listener support GRN has received over the years. Space is limited, so reserve your ticket now at grnonline.com/anniversary.
St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:17, Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Many evangelicals see this passage as an indication that baptism is not necessary for salvation. But is this true? The answer is no, and here are some reasons why. First, I don't think Paul meant I don't have authorization to baptize. If that were true, well, then he would have acted in disobedience when he baptized Crispus, Gaius, and the household of Stephanus, which he tells us about in the preceding verses. But we don't want to say that. It's more likely Paul was being hyperbolic in order to stress, one, the focus of his ministry, which was to preach, and two, it doesn't matter by whom you're baptized, which was the topic of discussion within context. Is Paul denying the necessity of baptism? I don't think so. I'm Carlo Broussard with The Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Major decisions can feel daunting. Do you feel lost and alone? Not sure what path to take? Life coaching may be the right option for you. Whether it's practicing accountability or creating a better plan that works in your life, we are here to serve with Christ always at the center. God's plan is always the best plan for us. We just may not be able to see it right now. Let us help at standtalltoday.com.
Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, we are back. That was our final break, so we're going to just go to the phones and get everybody hopefully on air with us today for this Memorial Day weekend broadcast of servant leadership. I think it's been a great discussion so far, and let's continue that by going to Dolores in Charlotte, North Carolina, listening on the EWTN app. Hi, Dolores. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm excited about this topic. I studied organizational leadership, servant leadership, but this topic here today made me think a little bit deeper. And the two things that came to mind were the importance of humility and staying close to Christ, who is the originator of you know, who we serve, right? So it's very important to stay close to him. Servant leadership is both internal and external, meant to draw us closer to Christ. God is always drawing us deeper. This is done in many ways, right? Through, you know, enjoying the beauty of creation, prayer, our vocation, our service. But servant leadership does imply both the need to deepen humility and learn of Jesus, who is meek and humble of heart. The world doesn't teach that, right? Mm-hmm. So we must spend time in prayer and reflection and service to learn of his love and mercy and transmit this to others. And in so doing, we learn it in a personal way because we receive love and mercy from others. So, you know, it's an ongoing education. But humility is key, always key, and is the base of all virtues. So if you don't have humility, you don't have any of the virtues. There's no staying power. There's no hold. It's not true. So a true servant leader is always growing and deepening their relationship with Christ, thus being able to authentically be Christ to others. So there you have it.
Wow. That's amazing. Adam?
Yeah, Dolores, you know, what you said drew me to kind of an observation, and that is when we're talking about this, we don't have to think, oh, well, this is about somebody who's like gets hired to be the director of the program, or this is only about the pastor, or this is only about somebody in these, you know, big formal leadership positions. The servant leadership idea applies on a moment-to-moment basis in all of our encounters with people. So if I have a 5-minute chat with somebody before lunch at work, maybe one of our seminarians, in those moments, in that interaction, there might be a moment where they're the servant leader and providing something to me that I didn't know, or feedback that's helpful. And there may be moments where I'm a servant leader for them. And we're going to experience this, and it's a way to approach any interaction with other people, that we're humble, we can benefit, we can share with them. And the reason it's important that I be humble when I share with them is, and I've seen this, Dolores, so many times, if I become the celebrity special person, you know, encourage a cult of personality around myself, the message is, you need me for your issues. I'm the one you need to be listening to and following versus pointing towards Christ, because they need a relationship to be grown in Christ, not with me. So when we're doing this, that's why that humility is so critical, because we don't want the illusion of, again, Genesis, you know, you can be like God. I'm going to be the little God in your life, and I'm the one you need to come to, you know, for leadership. Mm-hmm. So yes, we share, but it's always pointing back, as you say, to the originator of it, to Jesus.
Right.
So I appreciate your comments, Dolores.
Yeah, I thought it was a home run of a call, Dolores. That's why you could hear a pin drop. We were so quiet because we definitely want to save this call and share it far and wide on social media, because you really nailed it. You did a great job. So are you in this line of work right now, organizational leadership?
Just through my, you know, my service of God, where both my husband and I have a heart for serving God, and it's transformed us and deepened our relationship and our hunger for him. And we seem more aware that the world is hungry for God. And yes, Lord, I'll follow you. Show me, point me, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we do. And Carolyn Klicka on the previous program, that's why actually I'm even aware of this. And I stayed on. I know Carolyn, and she mentioned Retrovive. We've been involved in that for 20 years. So,
nice.
You know,
very
we've
nice.
Come face to face with pain and experienced it ourselves.
Right.
And so, you know, the world needs healing. But we, you know, Christ gave us to one another to do that.
you know, to be extensions of his hands and his feet and his arms and his eyes. And so.
Well, Dolores,
we feel called, and that's what we do.
Yeah, well, we can definitely hear it and keep going, my friend. And we got you in the prayer book for continued perseverance in this ministry work and blessings as well. Okay?
Thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you. What a wonderful call. Okay. We also have comments and questions coming in. Here's the exciting thing about the questions coming in, Adam. If we don't get to them today, we actually have our mailbag edition next Saturday. So you got to be listening next Saturday because maybe your question will be answered like Raul and the others. So that's in our mailbag edition. That is next Saturday. So we're taking your calls, live calls today. So if you'd like to join Chuck and Rachel, we're going to get to them next. There's still time. So please call in 877-757-9424. This is your show, The Spirit World. So we do expect you to call in because it's all about you having the input on the topics that we share. Okay, so we'll get to Rachel next. And Rachel is in Houston, Texas, waiting so patiently on Guadalupe Radio Network online. Hi, Rachel. Welcome back to the program.
Hi. Hi, how you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you so much. You go right ahead.
You've been talking about servant leadership, and I've had some bad experiences with it in organizations where the leader was seen as a servant leader, but, you know, was actually quite domineering, and everything he, his abuse of his people almost, was called servant leadership. I've also been in organizations where those who were really attempting sincerely to practice servant leadership were really taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. How do you handle sort of the abuse of servant leadership?
Well, let me comment on this first, if I may, Adam, because this is exactly what I was talking about earlier about with the wonderful priest mentors I had when I started in ministry. Rachel, you are spot on. I mean, it's really unfortunate. It comes from the top. Okay, the leader of the parish, the pastor, and then how he has set up his staff and his pastoral council and all sorts of organizations that help to lead the parish. It's very important that it starts from the top. Okay, and if the pastor and the priests and the deacons and the religious that are there, if they're not constantly educating and forming their lay leaders, you're going to have problems, because I've seen it too, Rachel, and it's very discouraging, demoralizing. I could hear the pain in your voice as you're talking about it, and it leaves you with a bad taste of what real leadership in the church should look like, right? It leaves you with this bad taste because you're thinking, wait a minute, this is supposed to be like, we're supposed to be feeling Christ. It's supposed to be like the Mother Teresa thing. You're supposed to be really feeling and experiencing Christ. And this doesn't feel like Christ. This is not Christ-like. And it leaves you with a bad taste. Like, this is not right. Something's wrong here. Well, I think some really broken people and wounded people go into ministry somehow trying to find their self-worth. And it's the wrong place for them to be. They need to work on themselves. They need to work on their own spiritual development before they go into leadership. I was in volunteer placement for the church for a while, volunteer ministry placement. And I used to get people all the time that they would say, I want to do this because I think this is so cool. Or I want to do this because this would be a great position for me to be in. It's the oddest mindset, Rachel. And they would go into it, and I'm thinking, do you understand what it really means to be in ministry? And they're like, well, I don't want to put up tables, take down chairs. And I said, well, that's part of ministry. And then and then you have the flip side of that, Rachel, of people who are being disrespected and they've been taken advantage of, and they're not thanked and not appreciated. And that's unfortunate too. But I will tell you, in my humble opinion, it starts from the top. The leaders in the parish need to walk the walk and talk the talk. What do you say, Adam?
Yeah. And Rachel, the second question you had about you know, how do you avoid kind of people walking all over you and maybe abusing that? The servant leadership isn't, that shouldn't necessarily mean weak or passive or letting the led lead in a weird way. The two words are both important, as with so many things in life, right? It's not simple. It's two words, servant and leader. So serving and looking out for the welfare and the growth of the people you're leading, yeah, and leading them towards Christ, pointing them towards Christ, absolutely. But the leading is necessary too. So like I've had supervisors or superiors at times in my work in the church that have really exemplified this, where they were very pastoral, very understanding and taking things into account and encouraging and prayerful. But when they needed to be firm and say, this is what we need to do now and it has to get done, or we don't do things this way, we only do things this way, or we never do it that way, whatever they need to be firm about, they're firm. Yeah. So being both pastoral and firm is necessary. Sometimes you have to simply lead. Sometimes the pastor has to say, no, we're going to do it this way. And but, that's the end of the discussion, because sometimes that's necessary.
Right. But don't you hear what Rachel's saying, Adam, in the sense that these leaders need to practice what they preach to when outside of being a ministry head? They need to really live it. It's odd to me when I would see, I mean, Rachel, I mean, we could spend all day. I used to see ministry leaders of the church and they'd be at the bar at 10 o'clock at night after religious education. I'm like, what are you guys doing? What example is that to the families? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, something's a little odd about that.
Yeah, living a double life.
Yeah. So anyway, any final comments, Rachel? Great call.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, thank you. We appreciate it. Well, and we appreciate the call. And also, too, this is not to criticize those that are in the head of churches and parishes. This is not to criticize anyone, but this is just to challenge everyone to be the best you can be. Work on yourself. And really, it's about your own spiritual development. This is for pastors and priests and ministers. And, you know, because we have a lot of listeners that aren't Catholic. You know, you hear about it all the time. The pastor's kid. Yeah, have you ever heard about that all the time, Adam, where they'll say, it's so interesting. He's running a church, this pastor, and his kid is in trouble with the law. You know, the pastor's kid. It's very interesting. How does that happen? And some people will say, oh, the devil is attacking them, you know. Well, that could be true. But really, you have to walk the walk, talk the talk. What you do in public when you are leading a teaching, when you are preaching, when you are leading a Bible study, you should be practicing that at home. If you're not practicing it at home, what is it worth, Adam?
Mm-hmm. And I can't give you the exact place this is, but I know in the church, in terms of the law, I know in the church, one of the criteria that they look at when they're considering a priest to be elevated to be a bishop is that their family life is in good order. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they have kids, right? I mean, like their brothers, sisters, their parents, their relationship, the family is in good order and healthy. And that's actually one of the criteria that they look at when they're considering somebody to be a bishop, because there's a recognition of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that if that's disordered, it's going to lead to problems.
Interesting. Okay, see, this is good stuff. Great conversations we're having here. Okay, thank you again, Rachel from Houston. Let's go to Chuck in Syracuse, New York, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Chuck. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Good morning. Yes, I love your show. I listen to it all the time. My question's a little different. My wife passed over 3 years ago, and I'm still getting all kinds of signs. I'm not sure if that's good or bad. I mean, I find lights flashing, change all over the place, and a lot of times I'll be laying in bed or sofa, and it actually starts shaking. Not a real, you know, violent shake, but it's like vibrating. So I'm not sure if that's good or bad. And admittedly, I went to mediums twice, unbeknown. You're not supposed to do that. I did go to confession for that, so I won't do that again. But is this all related or not?
Okay, we'll let Adam comment, but just wanted to say, Chuck, I put your wife in our prayer book. If you feel comfortable, you can give us her first name. If you don't, God knows who Chuck's wife is, okay? Go ahead.
Janet.
Yeah, Chuck.
Amy Janet. So,
Janet.
Janet. Okay, got okay. it. Go ahead, Adam. Sorry.
So really quick, Chuck. I don't think that's your wife. If these things are, you know, if these things are happening and there's no explanation, you can't debunk it. I don't think that's your wife. So, and particularly because you went to a medium, that probably kicked things up a notch. So my advice to you is do not look for or encourage or respond to these things if they happen. Simply pray for your wife, assuming, you know, she's in purgatory. And if she's already in heaven in the beatific vision, great. The prayers are not wasted. They'll go to somebody else. But let that be your relationship with her. Don't seek to kind of like communicate through these signs right now. Now, Chuck, I've seen innumerable cases over the years where in hearing the person's story, it's always a spouse in these type of situations, and they describe the same thing. It starts little. They're bereaved. They're sad. They're pining for their spouse that's gone. Of course, that's natural. And a spirit steps in and takes advantage of that and pretends to be them. They enter into a relationship with it, thinking it's their spouse, and then eventually it turns ugly, and they realize later that it wasn't. The Bible doesn't tell us to look for communication with the dead. In fact, it forbids calling up the dead to talk to them, calling out to the dead and asking for signs. That's necromancy in the Bible. And the enemy will step in when we participate, and that's a sin, because the Bible says it's abhorrent to God, and he'll turn his face away from you and cut you off from his people if you practice necromancy, which is essentially ghost hunting. So all that to say, ask Jesus to take it away, and if it continues, get your house blessed, and work with your pastor, assuming you're Catholic there, work with your pastor. But yeah, do not interact with this. I think this is a trick.
Yeah, well, very good. I mean, my stories, I mean, I went to these meetings and they were like spot on. They said things that no one could know. I mean, they were very private that no one could know. But how would they know that unless it's the demons, like you said?
Yeah. Sure. Yep. Yep. So, yeah, okay. Just confess it, leave it in the past, let it go. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Good.
Very good advice. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
God bless you.
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you so very much. Okay, I'm going to attempt to do something here very quickly. We're going to go to Edward in San Antonio, Texas. Now, Edward, you're listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. We may not be able to answer your question. We're going to answer it in the mailbag edition next Saturday, but I need you to ask the question on air because you've been waiting so patiently. Go ahead, Edward.
Well, God bless you. This is David Giuliani. I'm aware of that we teach about preternatural beings being able to move matter without touching them. I guess like telekinesis and stuff like that. Well, and just for example, in a couple months in Virginia, they're having what they call the Psy International Games. And it's on people doing control remote viewing, telekinesis, and several other categories. I just wanted your insight on how that has become the new norm, because it's a family-filled event, like, for everybody. Mm-hmm. Kids of all ages are doing this nowadays.
Yeah, Edward, we've heard of various events happening around the country. We'll address that on the mailbag edition next Saturday because we're going to run out of time. But thank you for making us aware again. And this is important that we'll address it because a lot of events are happening and they are being marketed as a family friendly event. Wouldn't you know that? That is just you're walking right into the demons right there. Edward, thank you so much. We wanted to get you on air with us. That'll do it for this Servant Leadership edition of The Spirit World. Please share this episode far and wide with your friends. We believe that's a good use of social media. And thanks again to everyone on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, TikTok, and Twitch. We also want to thank Lori, Carol, and Tim, our show team, who's doing such a great job answering all the calls. We got everybody on air today, Adam. And Adam, I know you have a special Memorial Day message for our listeners.
Yeah, just God bless all the people that have died in the service over the years. Please pray for them, and please pray for each other, and do what you can to support the troops that are serving us now.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, guys, at the Spirit World Podcast. We always like to Ed and post great articles for you to continue the conversation. Okay, that'll do it for Adam Bly. I'm Debbie Giorgiani. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.